From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. According to a recent Gallup poll, more than 55% of Americans say they exercise at least three times a week for 30 minutes or more. But we slip when it comes to wintertime. It's cold, it's rainy. And so how do we stay in shape, even when stepping outside can take some serious willpower?
Standing on your tiptoes, running on the spot. Exercise is good for you, ladies and gentlemen. Standing on your tiptoes, running on the spot. Exercise is good for you, ladies and gentlemen. Standing on your tiptoes, running on the
Well, you can listen to the Wombles to get a little excitement about going out and exercising. But with us in the studio to help find, reinforce, or increase your fitness regimen, Dr. Dan Tripps. He directs the Center for the Study of Sports and Exercise at Seattle University. He was the president and executive director of the 1984 Olympic Scientific Congress. He's written two books on athletic achievement. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
I just wanted to follow on. I was asking you in the break there about what you would like the president to do when it comes to fitness. Was it President Kennedy that had the presidential challenge on fitness?
Oh, there's been several presidents who've done that.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, is packaged as Obamacare, calls for wellness as a part of the Affordable and Accountable Care Act. And so we're going to see wellness becoming a more integral part to medicine, and that in itself is going to help us with the fitness issue.
Why do you think it's harder for people to get motivated in the wintertime to exercise?
Well, I think it's harder to get motivated for life in the wintertime. But, people tend to think that exercise has to be this contiguous regimen, and it's really not. It's about assembling together little snippets of movement. So I think if you don't look at the exercise program as an hour that I have to get in a car and go to a gym and put in X number of minutes of intense exercise, but see it as 5 minutes here, 4 minutes there, 7 minutes there, 3 minutes there, then the season doesn't make any difference because you're accumulating it as life goes on throughout the day.
Now, I thought you had to go for like 20 minutes to get your blood pumping and your heart beating to get some of the benefits of exercise. How do you get that if you're just doing it in little snippets?
Well, I think what you raise is the question about what is the benefit one is seeking. And exercise can be used for the purposes of health or the purposes of fitness, and they're very different. If you're trying to improve your ability to run a particular distance like a marathon, or if you're trying to do a bike ride to Portland, then that benefit of fitness and raising the heart rate to a certain level, that's really critical. But if you're trying to deal with blood sugar, cholesterol, body lean mass and weight, then that's not the issue. It's about burning calories, and it's about being able to keep moving and allowing the heart to develop its aerobic capacity sufficiently. So it really all depends on what that benefit is that you're seeking.
That's interesting to say there's fitness and there's health.
Absolutely.
If you're fit, are you necessarily healthy?
No. And in fact, we see that a lot in some of the people we test, because fitness is measured by those things that are very, very dynamic, and health is measured by such things as your blood profile and your absence of disease and your vitality away from a chronic condition. And so when you exercise, you have to actually choose where along that continuum you want to put your focus. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do both. You can develop an exercise program that includes both of these two agendas, but they're not mutually inclusive.
And is the opposite also untrue? If you're healthy, are you not necessarily fit?
Very true. You can be very healthy, but that is that you're absent from disease, but you don't live vitally. You don't live with vibrancy because you haven't developed your ability to handle demand and to handle rigor and to handle the surprise and excitement of living, you know, fruitfully and wonderfully. So, no, there are very important different agendas that you have to develop very specifically.
I think a lot of us begin many programs and ideas about how we're going to get healthy, how we're going to get fit, but then we tend to like let them go by the wayside. What's your suggestion for staying motivated?
Well, I think one of the most important things we have to realize is that it's no longer about longevity. It's about living with purpose and meaning and activity and vibrancy. And I've used vibrancy a couple of times, but I think if we see ourselves along the exercise continuum, it's part of a lifestyle as opposed to a moment in time because I need to lose a dress size or I need to address a particular competition, but we see it as what's going to carry me to being able to be 70 but live like 50 and 80 and live like 60. And I think that's where we're beginning to move. And if we focus on that, I think we'll feel much, much better about getting up every day and moving.
So break that down a little bit. I want to feel like I'm 60 when I'm 70. What sort of things do we want to do that? And also, I mean, it's said that if you can't measure something, it's really hard to change it. And how important is measurement when it comes to activity?
Measurement, fortunately, has been automated. I mean, we've got such great technology, and I don't want to promote any particular product, but we have activity monitors today that enable you to, you know, put on your hip or put on your waist or whatever and measure the number of steps you take. And what we know is that for every step you take, you're making that step towards an improved vitality. And whether it's 6,000, 7,000, 10,000 steps a day that you want to take, you can measure that now. And so what's really exciting is you're getting credit for every movement you make, you know, as opposed to the old exercise regimen, which is I needed to be here for 15 minutes doing this particular kind of program. So I think the important thing is just to be moving. Moving is what is going to keep us vibrant.
Can just moving replace the idea of, oh, I've got to exercise for 20 minutes on the bicycle today? Can you just do the movement all the time?
Actually, you can do that and do it very well and live quite healthfully and vibrantly. The question is, do you have some specific goals and objectives and needs that you want to do with your movement lifestyle? For me, for example, I like running and feeling that pulse just pound in my back and my heat arise because I'm having a good run. So I have to do some things beyond just walking and just moving to be able to accommodate what I want to do when I run a hill or I run a trail. So if you're a rower or if you're a cyclist or if you're a fisherman or whatever you want to do, you will have to add some of those other components to match that specific objective.
Now we're talking about health and fitness. If you just tuned in, we just learned about the difference between them. Dr. Dan Tripps is with me. He directs the Center for the Study of Sports and Exercise at Seattle University. And maybe you've got a question about what you'd like to be doing to stay healthy, to stay fit. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Tell us about what you – a lot of us are living sedentary lives. We sit at desks all day. What can we do?
Sure. Well, for example, if you're a person that's on the phone a lot, you can be standing, making your phone call, and just moving about the room and accumulating, again, that credit for moving. You can take the stairs instead of the elevator. In my case, I live up on Queen Anne. I work on Capitol Hill. I walk from point A to point B, and then I arrive at my work and I start my day. So it's about being committed to being a moving human being. And if you do those, again, in little snippets, you'll keep this thing moving very fervently.
And I'll add my two cents. If you want to walk this time of year, get rain pants and a good quote and some waterproof shoes, and you're good to go. It doesn't really matter what the weather is. You can just kind of keep going. Everybody wants to maintain kind of a basic level of health. What's the most important thing to do? I was joking with our producers about how I wanted to find the least amount of activity I could do to stay healthy. And some people might think in that minimalist fashion, they just want to do the bare minimum, but they want to do enough to be effective. Is there such a thing?
You know, I think the most important thing that a person can consider is this idea that if I continue to allow myself to absorb and enjoy movement, how can I find it in my daily life? You're going to be quite content with the whole process. Walking across the street to have lunch instead of, you know, taking a cab. There are so many things that if we just engage with life, we'll be doing that minimum that you actually need. But I think, again, using the technology we have to monitor and get involved with the social networking world and see how your friends are doing and what they're doing and share the map of your walk and share the conversation that you've been having with each other in the fitness process.
Okay, let's say you've got these first steps down, you're walking, you're going up and down stairs, you're standing up on the phone, and you want to take it up a notch and maybe perhaps improve your fitness. A lot of people see all the advertisements for the exercise machines they could purchase and find a place for in their homes. If you wanted to take it up a level, what would you suggest?
Well, I think one of the most important things would to be get what I call assessed. We all have some basic data, back to your point of measurement. We have what's called an aerobic capacity, how well oxygen is delivered to the tissues. We have a resting metabolic rate, how much we're burning in terms of calories given our muscle mass. We have a lean muscle mass that we can measure through body fat. I think getting some of those data points, looking at those against normative concerns such as your age, gender, et cetera, and then realizing where you stand, no pun intended, in the community of people around you will give you the next step. How do I move beyond those points? How do I bring those points to better places in that normative data set?
Where do you get a fitness assessment like that to kind of give you the metrics?
Sure. You can get them at some clubs. I would imagine that the WAC provides one. There are companies like Potentrix that provide them, which is a fitness assessment company. You can probably get them at your physician's office if you have a wellness-oriented physician. And they're relatively inexpensive. They're probably looking at anywhere from basic body composition at $20 to $40 all the way up to a couple hundred dollars for the full package of aerobic capacity and other devices.
Now, you mentioned the Affordable Care Act is kind of moving us forward. Does it pay for getting your health assessment?
Well, at this point, it's not there yet. But what's going to begin happening is it's going to trigger the way physicians get paid and the way the physicians and the ability to package the benefits of insurance are going to get assembled. And so we're going to start to see that as the metrics to showing that physician care is actually working. And that's going to prompt both physicians and insurance companies to take another look at this preventative aspect.
Got a question about health and fitness. Dr. Dan Tripps is here. We're at 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. And Lalani is giving us a call from Olympia with a question about spin classes. And those are those classes, Lalani, where you're kind of on the bicycle and you just pedal like mad.
Yeah, they're really fun. I really enjoy them.
What's your question?
So when we're doing spin class, the instructors always, a lot of times, will say, okay, look at your watts and try to keep your watts at this level during this whole song or whatever. And I was wondering if he could explain to me what watts are.
Sure. Watts are a measure of power. And so it's determining how much power you're generating on the bike. Now, the issue about looking at your watts is what you don't know is how much difficulty is it for you to produce that particular wattage. And so what's really important is to understand that the amount of effort you must extend to produce 400 watts or 300 watts may be different than the person next to you. So the critical thing about that spinning exercise is to know what the impact of producing that power is on your cardiovascular system and making sure that you're exercising at a level that's appropriate for what your objective is.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much, because I've noticed that I have to ride on the same bike to get to otherwise different bikes measure it differently if I'm trying to kind of compare if I'm working out harder today than I was yesterday.
Yeah, you'll want the same device because the metrics that are computed in that bike will be important to calibrate time after time.
Thanks for your call, Lalani. You know, some folks feel as though unless they're totally beat after they finish an exercise regimen, really kind of feeling the burn, feeling totally exhausted and worn out, they haven't really done what they need to do. You pointed out you don't necessarily have to do that for some basic health fitness.
Correct.
But are there some things you should kind of totally wear yourself out for if you have some goals?
Sure. So you have basically seven gears in the human truck. So imagine that you accelerate from gear one, gear two, gear three. Your health portions of your gears are in that gear ones and gear two. When you start to get up to gear three and four, and that's where you start to get to that worn out feeling, you're sort of developing a different portion of your machinery. You're developing that what we call that anaerobic portion of your machinery. How do you deal with little oxygen and high intensity? That's important for certain things when you're competing as an athlete or when you're just recreationally doing some things that require that anaerobic activity. So, yes, that's a reasonable thing to do with a reasonable reason to do it.
We've also got a call on the line from Greenwood. Wren is on the line with another question about desk exercise. What's your question, Wren?
Hi there. Well, I actually had a comment. I'm also a personal trainer, and I'm a huge fan of the distinction that he's making between fitness and health, and it's something that I emphasize a lot with my clients. But I had something to add in terms of things that you can do at your desk.
What's that?
Well, I suggest that my clients set a timer for themselves that'll go off like 2 to 3 minutes before the end of each hour. Sorry, there's an ambulance coming up next to me. And basically, as soon as that timer comes off, you stop whatever you're doing and you spend the next 2 or 3 minutes focusing on where your body is. I mean, a lot of people get very hunched over, you know, so even just sitting and taking some deep breaths or getting up and taking a walk around the office, you know, rolling your neck.
I'm sitting up straight, even as you say that, Wren. I realized I was hunched over. I'm throwing my shoulders back.
Because it's just that I like the idea of setting a timer because it's so easy to say, okay, I'm going to really try and move around more at work today. Like, I'm going to really try. But then you get into things. And so it just sort of forces you to shift out of that and check in with your body.
Yeah, so that the little prod. Wren, thanks for your call. How important would a timer be to move you along? And also, we haven't talked about posture. Is posture an important part of fitness?
Certainly it is. First of all, let's establish that fitness is a series of attributes and flexibility and musculoskeletal integrity. Is one of those. So posture is very important because as we age, that's going to be one of the things that's going to make our movement very, very uncomfortable. the idea of having a timer is a great idea, so I commend the caller. They show you back to technology. There is now an app that you can put on your phone, and it will call you and tell you to do the exercises. So
move it.
So we have all that in play.
We've got Rebecca on the line. Just give us a call today from Bellingham. Rebecca, what's your question?
Well, I'm wondering if you can over-exercise, because I read a book one time that said you really only need to get aerobic 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and keep using your big thigh muscles. And with that, you get the heart exercise, but you also can lose weight because you drink your water and you're using those large muscles continuously. Can you over-exercise?
That's a great question.
Thanks, Rebecca.
And exercise is very much like medication. There is an appropriate dosage. So if you have a headache and you take 2 aspirin, that makes good sense. But if you take 40, that's not going to be the best thing for your health. Same with exercise. So volume, intensity, frequency, those things are part of what we call dosage. You can definitely overdose.
And so keep an eye on that. What are the warning signals that you might be overdosing, doing too much?
You can be overtrained by doing things such as having sleeplessness, restlessness, change in your resting heart rate, and you can certainly get kind of irritable when you're overtraining. And also you'll find some joint problems. The body doesn't handle that very well.
Dr. Dan Tripps, he directs the Center for the Study of Sports and Exercise at Seattle University. Thank you so much for coming by and talking to us
about it. It's been my delight. Thank you.
David Hyde produces the conversation with Arwin Nix. We get production help from Cameron Drews. Bernard Ouellette is our engineer. And here's some more motivation from the Wombles.
Running on the spot, exercise is good for you, ladies, this is not. Standing on your tiptoes, running on the spot, exercise is good for you, ladies, this is not. Standing on your tiptoes, running on the spot, exercise is good for you, ladies, this is not. Standing on your tiptoes, running on the spot, exercise is good for you, ladies, this is not. Standing on your tiptoes, running on the spot, exercise is good for you, ladies, this is not.